Welcome to Basic Business AI, a podcast dedicated to simple AI strategies for businesses who don't want to get an advanced tech degree or hire some marketing bro or sister like me. I'm your host, Ana Gonzalez, and you can find me on social media at AnaBotPrime. We bring in regular business owners like you and me to discuss practical strategies, ideas, and perspectives about AI without getting too far into the weeds of the tech. BBAI is sponsored by AnaBots. We build AI with heart. Our trained AI sales and support assistants work 24/7 to increase sales, reduce costs, and free up your time so you can focus on growing your business. If you want to install a 24/7 near human sales and support team in your business, go to anabots.ai to learn more. We have 100% free options and low cost options to fit any budget. Once more, that's anabots.ai. Today's guest is David Fraden. David teaches and consults on product success, and he is right now in the Silicon Valley. So, David, welcome to Basic Business AI. From your
Glad to be
perspective,
with you.
thank you so much for being here. So, from your perspective, how is AI reshaping the future of business?
Well, it enables them to become more productive. It enables them to analyze larger data sets in order to find patterns. And in each of different businesses like medicine, traffic, and project management and scheduling and that type of thing. For the large businesses that have the resources to invest in those kinds of things, for example, the airlines are using AI now to schedule their planes and their crew, and then take into account the issues with the weather in order to maximize profitability.
Oh, that's awesome. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, well, they're able to put in the flight characteristics of aircraft that have flown from point A to point B previously on that day. They're able to put into their model the weather and how it's changing, what the winds aloft are going to be at different elevations. So the pilots can then file flight plans that will optimize fuel consumption and time to get on the ground because every minute that plane's in the air costs them. And as more and more of this data becomes available, air traffic control will be able to optimize route routing for the airlines and eventually for general aviation.
Oh, wow. You know, I know very little about aviation, and I think it's very, what you're saying is very interesting. On, I will relate it to them having their own weatherman that is more accurate than the TV weatherman, I guess.
Yeah. Well, when I started flying, what would it be about 50 years ago? I'm a flight instructor. Worked my way through college as a flight instructor. Weather forecasts were only accurate from like a day to 3 days. Now they're becoming extremely accurate out to a week or 2 weeks.
Oh, wow. How do you see that all these changes are reshaping aviation? Like, for sure, for some industries, some new jobs are emerging. So how do you see it happening for aviation?
Well, I don't know if it's going to, well, if it's going to create many new jobs, there'll be some new jobs for those managing the data sets and managing the and overseeing the routing recommendations to make sure that they're safe. There'll be new jobs to integrate all the data points and to integrate with air traffic control and to monitor that as it goes along.
Yeah, we're becoming more of a high level kind of job society. That's super interesting.
Used to be back in the 30s and 40s, we navigated by a system called Lorraine. And then in the 50s and 60s, VORs were established, but that made you fly from point to point to waypoint to waypoint to waypoint. And then when GPS came around, we could do inertial navigation and fly direct from point A to point B. And then, of course, now, as I mentioned earlier, with artificial intelligence, we'll be able to optimize that.
Oh, wow. You know, I didn't think about this, but now that you mentioned GPS, I am one of those people who cannot go anywhere without using a GPS. And even using a GPS, I get lost.
Yeah, I have friends and family that have had those kinds of issues. You first need to learn how to read a map and think about them.
Yes, you know, it's been very helpful to learn how to read a map and then memorize stuff. Like my issue is with memorizing, but even I have a 10-year-old son, and even when he was younger, he was like, "Don't you know your streets? Why do you need GPS to go to my school every day?" And I'm like, "I'm sorry, I forgot." But yes, super interesting. And also, I mean, I guess that it's very different, the kind of GPS that you're talking about to the one that I'm talking about. But super interesting how AI is reshaping the industry in aviation and how airlines are using it for what you mentioned.
Yeah, but it's also available to small and medium businesses and to individuals. And I've identified five places where AI could be helpful without having to be trained into artificial intelligence.
Oh, what are those?
Well, the first one is just searching and researching, market research and searching for answers to questions. A new little AI app just came out, I don't know, a few months ago called Perplexity. And you put in your query, and it will review anywhere from 5 to 10, or maybe even 20 websites that have information relevant to your question. And then it'll compile that and summarize it, and also give you links to what the source information is, which is critical. Because when Google first released its AI, and someone asked it, "How do I keep the cheese on my pizza?" it recommended glue. And somebody else asked, "Well, how can I get minerals?" And it recommended eating rocks, which of course
Oh,
you can eat rocks. But Perplexity gives you the links to the sources so you can double check on it. So it just rapidly speeds up having to pick through all of Google's linked responses to your query and find the ones that are relevant. And sometimes there's frequently many that are irrelevant. And then summarize that in your brain to figure out what the answer to the question is. So I use Perplexity every day. For example, I just upgraded to iOS, or no, Mac OS 15, and the dock is operating very strangely. So I typed in a thing that that the dock was saying to me is capturing dock information or something to that effect. And Perplexity immediately came back with five or six solutions to solve the problem and in order. So that was very, very helpful. And I think a lot of businesses and a lot of people in their personal lives have questions about things. They could just go to Perplexity, type it in, whatever their question is, and come up with an answer. I think the new Apple Intelligence, when that's released later this year, will have that same summarizing capability. But you got to be careful because if the data models are fed bad information, like if they've read with the AI Trump's recommendation to inject yourself with Clorox in order to kill COVID, that could easily come up as one of the solutions in your AI model, unless you've got the links as to exactly where the source is and where that particular idea comes. And that just emphasizes the garbage in, garbage out.
Yes.
A second area that AI can help is personalizing the product experience. I've had several emails from AI companies where I could take their AI bot and feed it my website, and then it will set up a chat automatically, a chat bot, that any question that anybody asks on my website will be answered by some of the information that's in my website. So the effort of having to have compiled that previously in a decision tree is reduced to almost nothing. A third area, which is really interesting, is in video production. You can go so far as to give just a few ideas, and there's probably a dozen to maybe two dozen of these video production apps out there using AI. So you can give it a few ideas and it will write a script for you and then generate the video along with voiceover. Even in some cases to the point it can take a sample of your voice and then create an AI voice that sounds like you or similar to you. I have a book out on that Wiley published called Successful Product Design and Management, and it's 796 pages long. And one of the things I want to do is convert each of the chapters into a video, because a lot of people only learn through video these days. They, I think, somehow have forgotten how to read or don't want to read. So if companies have content that they would like to convert into videos, like I fed one paragraph to one AI video generator, and it generated 30 marketing emails that I could use in my Google AdWords campaigns. The fourth big area is just writing itself, writing content for your blog, writing content for your speeches. I was asked to give a speech on AI to an International Association of Software Product Developers last year in Berkeley, and their question was, how could artificial intelligence be used in product management? So I looked at my list of competencies that a product needs to succeed, which is in the book I just mentioned, and I also looked at my framework for product development, and I identified maybe three or four dozen areas where AI would be useful. For example, in medicine, imagine if you had a data set of a number of different people with different ages having a number of different diseases, taking a number of different medicines, and you can analyze that for solutions once you've diagnosed using AI a person's health condition. Well, it turns out our hospital systems like Kaiser and others have a lot of that data. So now they can significantly improve the diagnosis and recommendations for treatment. Likewise, in new drug development, to look at vast numbers of trials that have gone on already with common components of genetics and demographics and interactions between drugs and humans and dogs and cats and so forth, because we have similar anatomies. The time to develop a new drug, a new vaccine, will be reduced significantly through the use of AI. But in the writing area, anything can be written very quickly, and a number of tools on the new iOS 18 and the Mac OS 15 later this fall will have new writing tools that could speed up your writing, including grammar checking and including changing the content from formal writing to informal, to concise, to persuasive, and to informational, that type of thing. And lastly is in the area of image production. Many people say for good search engine optimization, you should have an image that goes along with your blog article. Mm-hmm. So now there are AI tools out there where you can give them some word descriptions of what kind of image that you want, and then the image is produced automatically, complete with six fingers on each of the three arms that people have.
Yes, complete with the six fingers and then words misspelled.
Yes.
Yeah, no, but all this that you just shared is, oh my gosh, so valuable. And I love how you categorized everything into six different bullet points. And I think that everything comes down to something that you mentioned very early in this these bullet points. It's garbage goes in and then garbage goes out. Everything is in the input and in the output. If you put quality input, you're going to get quality output. But you got to invest time and energy into giving it quality and like good input so that you can get a quality thing.
Yeah, there's somebody, I forget who it is. It might be Microsoft, has licensed content from Fox News to train their AI. That scares the hell out of me. It just amplifies Kellyanne Conway's everybody is has a right to alternative facts. How will we ever get to truth? Now, the precursor to all of this is the notion of wisdom of the crowds, which goes back to the 1990s at Stanford Computer School. Mm-hmm. And the basic concept there is if people like this, people will like this. If people click on this, people will click on that. If people buy this, people will buy that. And that was the initial engines that drove Amazon's and Netflix product recommendations and movie recommendations.
Yeah.
Problem with the wisdom of the crowds and later with garbage information going into AI is if the crowd is so smart, how come every few years some people go into a nightclub, a fire breaks out, and everybody tries to get out the same door at the same time, and they pile up and get killed on the inside of the door, forgetting and not thinking about that instead of following the crowd, go behind the stage where I'm certain there's a stage exit to get out of that particular nightclub. Or when you go into the nightclub, look around. I know where the exits are and confirm that the doors open to the outside and not to the inside. So if you get caught there, you won't pile up. So if the wisdom of the crowds is so smart, those kinds of problems wouldn't happen. Another example of use of this in terms of the wisdom of the crowds is you can't ask people what they want or what they need because they have to define what the problem is and what the solution is. And there's a legendary story that Henry Ford, the inventor of the affordable automobile or car, went out on the streets of Dearborn, Michigan, not far from where I grew up in Detroit, in the early 1900s, and he asked people if they would like to have a car. Now, they had no idea what a car is, which was the solution to a problem. They said, no, I prefer a faster horse. So under that auspices, if the internet existed back then, and he was trying to figure out if there would be a demand for his product, a car, and he went to Google, if Google existed back then, he would have found that nobody was searching for a car as a solution to their problem to get from one point to another point faster. And therefore, he could have concluded that there's no market for an automobile or a car, and he would have perhaps found some other business to get into. So we have to be very wary of garbage in and garbage out. And unfortunately, it doesn't seem very much that our schools are teaching logic and critical thinking and questioning the sources of their information before they click on sharing whatever it is that they thought was the case that supports their beliefs, which does nothing more than reinforce, well, if people like this alternative fact, then other people will like that alternative fact. The signal gets amplified in Twitter and on Facebook and in other social media, and that, like they say, a rumor and a falsehood could travel around the world before the truth can get their shoelaces tied.
Yes. Oh, wow. Oh, my God. This is so good. Thank you so much for all this contribution. So, David, tell us about who you serve and how can people reach out to you?
Yeah, I teach product management, or I prefer to call it product success and product marketing worldwide, and also consult on those subjects to small, medium, and large businesses. My number one client is Cisco. My company has trained about half of all the product managers at Cisco worldwide. And if you want to get in touch with me, go to www.spicecatalyst.com. If you want to get my books like Building Insanely Great Products or the Wiley book I mentioned, they're available on Amazon worldwide, including in Vietnamese. And just search for my name on Amazon, and all the books and workbooks that I've written are available there.
Awesome. So don't forget to go on Amazon and look for David Fradin to look for his books or to spicecatalyst.com. So we're going to wrap from here. Thanks to our guest, David Fradin, for joining us for a practical conversation about AI and its potential for business. This was so good. So you can learn more about what he does by visiting spicecatalyst.com. If you run a business of any size and you have some ideas or strategies around the topic of AI, we'd love to have you on a future episode as well. We interview business owners of all levels of experience and exposure to AI so we can represent all voices, especially the 80 to 90% of us who are curious about AI, but not trying to be tech geniuses. Apply for a future episode by going to basicbusinessai.com. And one more time, if you want to install a 24/7 AI sales and supports team that actually has a heart for less than 10% of the cost of a single employee, Get yourself an Anabot. Learn more at anabots.ai, anabots.ai. See you next time on Basic Business AI. Oh, and by the way, if you like this episode, tell your friends. See you later.